This book is all about how to help recover piety in the house.
Pastor Will Wheaton, talking about his new book, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety.
What do you do when people have confused a legalistic pietism for any form of Christian piety? And by piety, I just mean godly habits.
Learn more about Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey at issuesetc.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Sometimes in Holy Scripture, you can tell what's important, what the Holy Spirit wants you to pay attention to, by the amount of space he gives a subject. And this is one of those cases. Acts chapter 10, as we break up the book of the Acts of the Apostles, is entirely devoted to one incident. It's Peter. Now, a lot of things have been leading up to this. If you're paying attention in the book of Acts, you've noticed that Peter's been kind of moving his way toward Gentile territory, and now he is within striking distance of Gentiles. And the Holy Spirit says, now it's time to go and preach to them too. In a very particular and peculiar way, the Holy Spirit commands him to do this. But after three times, Peter gets the message and, as he says, perceives now that God shows no partiality. What does that mean? I'm going to answer that question and tell the story of Peter going to the house of Cornelius the Gentile in Acts chapter 10. As we teach a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon, Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you very much.
So is the Holy Spirit, in a roundabout way, in effect commanding Peter the apostle to finally go and preach this gospel to someone other than the Jewish recipients of the gospel?
Yes, he is, and he does that by having an angel go to Cornelius to invite Peter to come and speak with him. And Cornelius is already a believer because he's praying at the proper times. He's very merciful and generous to the people of Israel. And so they love him quite a bit. But when this angel comes, he says, "What is it, Lord?" He even recognizes this is someone from God. And the angel says, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea." Now, we talked a little bit about this last week, Todd, that at the end of Acts chapter 9, it says, "Peter stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner." Now, a tanner deals with dead animals, obviously, and therefore he is considered to be unclean. And it appears that already Peter is beginning to recognize to some degree this understanding of the Old Testament between clean and unclean is not as he once thought about it. And of course, God's really going to give that impression to him when he has a dream, a vision.
So, okay, we got Peter in the right place. We have the Holy Spirit already directing this encounter in Caesarea between Cornelius and the apostle. The only one who doesn't know it yet is Peter. So get us into that part of this. He's at the house of Simon the tanner. He's just taking some, apparently taking a nap up on the roof.
Well, he actually, it says, goes up on the sixth hour to pray. And so that's interesting. Like Cornelius had set times to pray, so also did Peter. And he was hungry and wanted something to eat. While they were preparing it, it's then he fell into what's called a trance. He saw the heavens opened and this sheet that's let down in the vision filled with unclean animals, according to the book of Leviticus, God tells Peter to rise and eat. And he says, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. But the voice comes to him not only a second time, but a third time. It kind of reminds us of dreams, for example, that Joseph interpreted. They came more than once to an individual, and you get the impression that when that occurs, this is a dream that is going to be fulfilled. So, while Peter was really perplexed, it says, in regard to that vision, then the men who were sent by Cornelius, they showed up at Simon's house, and they called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. I think this is really critical to help us to understand that nothing happens in the spiritual realm in regard to people becoming saved or growing in the faith that is not the work of the Holy Spirit. And so Peter immediately went with the men and said, I'm the one you are looking for. Why are you asking me to come with you? And they said, well, Cornelius, a centurion. Now, if Cornelius is a centurion, that means, first of all, he's Gentile. He's in charge of 100 soldiers. A Roman legion had 6,000 men, and they were divided into 10 cohorts of around 600 soldiers, and then each of the 100 had a Roman officer who was referred to as a centurion, since the word century, 100 men. And so he goes with them to Joppa, and they entered and spoke to Cornelius. Now, Cornelius, he's really excited. Because the angel told him that Peter was coming, he had called together his relatives and close friends. And when Peter entered, what did Cornelius do? He fell on his feet and worshiped Peter. Now, that kind of reminds me of something that happened in Revelation 22, where the writer John hears this wonderful good news from the angel, and he falls down and worships him. But the angel says, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And that's what Peter says. Stand up, Cornelius. I too am a man. In other words, I'm not God in order to be worshiped. And then when he went inside, he found many persons gathered around. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But, and here comes the message, God has shown me, and that of course was that vision on the roof, that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without an objection. I asked them why you sent for me. And then Cornelius tells them about the time that he was praying. A man stood before him in bright clothing and said, your prayer has been heard. Send therefore to Joppa and get Peter. He's lodging in the house of a man named Simon, a tanner, by the sea. So I sent to you for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have commanded by the Lord. Now, I want to make a point here. It was one that we talked about a while ago, a few weeks ago, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. I believe the Ethiopian was a sinner, but he had great difficulty in understanding a passage from the book of Isaiah. He was also a believer, and he asked Philip, who is this talking about? And I believe that is the essence of the purpose of the Christian church, through pastors and lay people to share insights of the Bible that are not clear just upon reading them, so that a person not only comes to faith, or in the situation with Cornelius, receives a stronger faith. And that was the purpose of why the Holy Spirit had come to meet with Cornelius.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. When we come back, about another 10 minutes with him, teaching a Sunday school lesson on Peter and Cornelius. When Peter has the opportunity, he is outright invited to preach to Cornelius and all of his friends and his family. What does the apostle say?
This book is all about how to help recover piety in the house.
Pastor Will Whedon, talking about his new book, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety.
What do you do when people have confused a legalistic pietism for any form of Christian piety? And by piety, I just mean godly habits.
Learn more about Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey at issuesetc.org.
Did you receive an Amazon Echo or Google Home for Christmas? Well, you can easily use these devices as your Lutheran listening loudspeaker. On Amazon Echo, say, Alexa, play Lutheran Talk Radio, or Alexa, play Lutheran Public Radio. On Google Home, say, Hey Google, play Lutheran Talk Radio, or Hey Google, play Lutheran Public Radio. Listen to Lutheran Talk or Lutheran Music 24/7 with Amazon Echo or Google Home.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Do you need a home mortgage, car, or student loan in 2018? Check out Lutheran Federal Credit Union. During January, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Grace Place Lutheran Retreats. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU. Good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Welcome back to Issues, etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Peter in the house of Cornelius the Gentile in Acts chapter 10. So when he is invited to preach, in essence, at Cornelius's house among all these Gentiles, what is it that the apostle has to say, and what happens as a result?
The apostle indicates the message that ought to be in every sermon. The primary theme of every sermon is that the gospel is for all people and all races, and it is involving the details of Jesus' passion, death, resurrection, ascension, and eternal reign. And the primary message is the message of the forgiveness of sins and the robe of righteousness directing people to the sacramental life. Now, what happens here is there is an interesting kind of another Pentecost experience. If you'll remember when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. When he's talking to Cornelius, the Holy Spirit comes upon the Gentiles. At the first Pentecost, amazement overtook many people. At this kind of Pentecost, the circumcised were amazed that the Holy Spirit also came to the Gentiles. And they knew that because at the first Pentecost, the apostles spoke in various known foreign languages. And guess what? At Cornelius's baptism and the Gentiles, they also began speaking in tongues, known foreign languages. And Peter directs them then to baptism, and the Gentile family is baptized. Now, what's interesting here, that normally you do baptism in order to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of sins. That's at the end of Acts chapter 2, when the people say, what can we do? And Peter says, be baptized. In this case, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit prior to baptism, and I believe that did happen at Pentecost with the disciples. Remember, there were tongues of fire on their heads. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. So what we have here with Cornelius is a kind of another Pentecost, but this time the Gentiles are brought in. And as Peter says, and this is a good point to end on, that they are having a conversion and God no longer regards anyone with discrimination. That's what that word means, that talks about that God is looking at them in the same way. Very important. God does not discriminate between sinners, thinking that, oh, you're too bad a sinner for me to tell you about the forgiveness of sins. That message is for the whole world, Jew and Gentile.
So with about a minute here, Tom, what is the basic law and gospel for the Sunday school children this week?
The basic law is, regardless of our station in life, we are all sinners and do not deserve to hear about the forgiveness of sins and the robe of righteousness. But because God is merciful, which means he does not give you what you deserve, and because he is gracious, which means he gives you what you do not deserve, the message of the forgiveness of sins comes to everyone in the world, because that's what Jesus did on the cross. He forgave the sins of every person in the world.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
We base our conversations with Pastor Baker on an excellent Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. Sometimes it's a little more difficult in the course of teaching a Sunday school lesson to find that message of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. In the case of this one, it's right there. You get it straight from the mouth of Peter himself preaching that sermon to the Gentiles and therefore to us. Growing in Christ is for Sunday school children of all ages. You can get a free sample from Concordia Publishing House. Just give them a call, 1-800-325-3040. Call them during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website. Just look for a link to Growing in Christ, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Growing in Christ. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss teaching virtue and vice as a key to discernment in our series with Pastor Jonathan Fisk on raising Christian children in an age of secular progressivism. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
We don't know anything about this formerly blind and mute man.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
What we do know is what Jesus did for him. And what Jesus did for that man, he is doing now for you.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.